Over the last few weeks, we haven't been following a structured series of teaching, as you will most probably already know. So we've had the opportunity to look at a variety of Bible passages and subjects, and today it's led us so far to the first chapter of the book of Jonah. So if you have Bibles, please turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. If you don't, it should come up on the screen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." When they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Father God, we thank you for these words. We pray that you would speak to us through them and through the words that I use. May they be your words. May you speak clearly into our hearts, as you have done already. In Jesus' name, amen. We're following a nautical theme, obviously, following on from Jim. And I always am amazed at how God works to bring worship and word together. I shouldn't be amazed after all these years of seeing that happen. But Jim and I had no conversation about this. In actual fact, I've not seen what he'd prepared until this morning. But this morning, I want to entitle this sermon, Running from God's Radical Grace. Running from God's Radical Grace. As we seek to understand what God might be saying to us through this passage, we're going to focus on two headings. So if you're taking notes, these are the two headings that we're going to focus on. Recognizing God's Radical Grace and realizing God's Radical Grace. So it's recognizing God's Radical Grace and realizing God's Radical Grace. And before the end of the morning, I'm bound to have messed up on those with all those R's, aren't I? Within a few sentences, we have a picture of what's going on. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So we know what's happening. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, they're wicked people. I want you to go and preach against them. And he says this to Jonah, and Jonah decides to run away. Now, if you're coming to this story, many of you have heard this story before, and so you most probably know the answers. But if you're coming to this for the first time, you might not understand Jonah's reaction. Why did Jonah run away from what God told him to do? Why did Jonah run away? It isn't rhetorical, by the way. Fear? Could have been fear. He didn't want God to forgive the Ninevites. It wasn't because his daughter was home from university and he just felt like running away. I don't think it was necessarily fear. We perhaps understand a little bit more of why Jonah ran away in the words that he used himself in Jonah 4, chapter 4 and verse 2. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because he recognized the radical nature of God's grace, and he ran. Now, we tend to be critical of Jonah. We think Jonah was, we'll say he was afraid, or we'll give a number of reasons, and we'll tend to be critical of Jonah. But in actual fact, I don't think we should be so critical of Jonah. In fact, Jesus uses Jonah as a positive example of his own life. And if we truly recognize the radical nature of God's grace, honestly, we too would run. You may protest at such a suggestion, but the challenge Jonah faced was the same one that Jesus issued in the Gospels. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We may believe it, even aspire to it, but do we practice it? This is the radical nature of the Gospel. This is something way beyond our comprehension. Jesus came into this world not to say, love those people that love you. And it's easy to love those people that love you. Love those people that respect you. Love those people that build you up. Love the people that do you good. And it's easy to do that. If you surround yourself with people that are lovely people, it's easy to live in that world. But what God has called us to do is a far more radical thing. When Jesus was telling things, he said, this is what the Bible teaches, but I tell you this. And he takes what we've learned from Scripture and he radicalizes it and says, you must love not just your neighbors, but your enemies too. This is the radical nature of God's grace. As Christians, it isn't simply about loving those that love us. We are called to love those who despise us. Tell me you wouldn't run when you recognize that this is God's call on your life. I would, and I do. Even this week, I was on the run. I was faced with someone who was saying something that just made me want to respond in like manner. They were speaking to me and saying things, and I just wanted to respond. Inside me, I just wanted to respond in the same way as they were responding. And you, do you know that feeling when that you just want to burst forth and just give them the double barrel shotgun? You want to respond in just the way that they've been to you. But we are called to be something different. And it made me just want to run away because I didn't want to respond in the way that Jesus wanted me to respond. I wanted to tell them a few home truths. But the radical nature of God's grace was to say, love those who hate you, those that despise you, those that persecute you. Pray for them and love them. That is what God is calling each and every one of us to. It's radical grace. And it's hard. And it's no wonder that Jonah ran. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. These were the wicked people that had trashed their land. They'd wiped out loads of their people and they were persecuting them. And Jonah said, I know what you're going to do, God. You're going to tell me that they're going to be suffering and they're going to be destroyed, and I'm going to go and tell them that, and then they're going to relent and say no. And then you're going to say, I'll forgive you. And I don't want that. I'd rather see them destroyed. And so he doesn't want the radical God's grace. He wants the natural retribution. And isn't that true of all of us? And then when we're faced with the radical nature of God's grace, we want to run. Every inclination of people's heart is to flee from the radical grace of God. Anyone who truly recognizes what God is suggesting will initially run, I suggest. If we are to call to love those that persecute us, love those that hate us, love those that are against us, it is in that that we will show God's radical grace. As we see the story unfold, what happens is truly Jonah runs away. He gets on a boat. He goes onto this boat and the storm arises. The storm arises and he disappears off downstairs and he has a quick sleep. And he's sleeping and everybody's getting in a panic and they think the boat is going to be destroyed. And so they start throwing things over the edge. They throw all the supplies over the edge and it's still not getting any better. So they try and work out what's going on and they do it by casting lots. And they find out that it's Jonah's fault. And so they come along and they say to Jonah, what have you done? And in the midst of all of this, despite him running away from God and trying to get away as far away from God as he could possibly go, he still says, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the God who is Lord over the sea. And in that, he says to them, if you want this storm to abate, throw me overboard. And he's thrown overboard. And then we see in this final verse, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. God, in his amazing grace, didn't just let Jonah run away and go his own way. God pursued Jonah. And in this, we see this final verse that as he was thrown overboard, this big fish came and it rescued, it saved Jonah. It is only as Jonah experienced the radical grace of God for himself in salvation, that he was able to go on to Nineveh and bear witness to the grace of God. It was only when he started out the journey, God was saying, tell the Ninevites that they're going to suffer. And then he says, no, I'm not going to do that because I know what you're like. You're gracious. But it was only when he had experienced the grace of God for himself, the reality of the grace of God for himself, that he was able to go and express that grace to the people. And it's only when we realize afresh the reality of God's radical grace to us in salvation that we will be ready to bear witness of it to others as we're called to do. My second point, I've already almost at the end of the second point, in case you haven't gathered, is we must realize again God's radical grace. What does realize mean? It means to make real. We must make real. We must capture again the radical nature of God's grace. We become, I'm afraid, too easy and comfortable as Christians. We sing Amazing Grace, and it just becomes pretty ordinary. We do our Christian bit, we're good, and we try and do the right thing, we come to church and things. But what God is wanting to say is there is a radicalness in his grace. He came from heaven to save us. We couldn't save ourselves. He came to save us just in that same way. We, like the sailors, tend to row as hard as we can to get to dry land, to do salvation. We try and do it. We think we can work hard, and somehow by being good, doing good works or whatever, we think we can get salvation. But salvation comes through grace alone. It is only by God's grace. That is unmerited favour. And as the sailors did, all we need to do is cry out to God.